You can't laugh at the same joke over and over, can you? So he says, he asked this question. He says, so why are you always crying about the same problem? Why are you always crying about the same problem? Our scripture text today is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 17. And it simply says, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Interesting, isn't it? So one of the expectations of the Christian walk is to walk in obedience to God and in obedience to God's word as well. Here again, his words state that we should do everything without complaining and arguing. That's everything. You know, I was driving the other day and I pulled up behind a car and the light was green. We were trying to make a left turn. So my grandchild in the back seat says, go ahead, man, it's time to go. The light is green. So I looked behind me, I said, now she's in the back seat. I said, baby, I'm not in a hurry. I let that go. So we're on the highway, I'm doing about 55. It's 70 miles an hour on 20, okay? So I'm behind this guy that's doing 55 miles an hour. And so she speaks to the driver. I mean, she's in the back seat. She said, Papa, you need to go around this man because he's driving too slow. You need to move over in the right lane. Now, this is a 9-year-old. But what I gathered from that is this child had heard me complain while I was driving. My complaining had rubbed off on my grandchild. And little did I know that she was watching me in my haste. In my rush. And she was actually just mimicking me. You're driving too slow. Hurry up and turn. I got to get around this one. Just in a hurry, but yet complaining about the traffic and the condition of the traffic as well. We complain about weather. We complain about the food. We complain about everything. Isn't that something? When you're complaining and don't even realize you're complaining. With my wife, you know, I ran my own tapes back. You know, I got a back condition, but I use myself as examples, and I ain't afraid to use me because I'm a work in progress, amen? Amen, I haven't arrived. I'm yet a work in progress, and God have to show me in order for me to continue to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. You know, so there are things I have to see within me to work on, and complaining is one. That allowed me to really assess myself and begin to listen to myself as well. About my back, sometimes it's difficult to get up, so I moan. I got a 2-year-old granddaughter. When she gets up, she moans. Can you, oh Lord, come on. Oh, can you imagine a 2-year-old saying, oh Lord, and then try to help me up. Come on, Papa, I'm gonna help you up. Complaining about my pain, about my aches, complaining. And it's so common in my life. I mean, it's as if I'm whining and complaining and grumbling, and it seems like the older I get, the worse it gets. Come on. Then it began to spill over on others. Come on, because it's so common at home. Are you hearing me? You know? So it's like, God, what do I do? I mean, why? What am I becoming, a grumpy old man? Help me, Lord, to not complain as much as I have complained. God gave me that song, I Won't Complain. Generally in my greeting, they say, well, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, I won't complain about it. When I say I won't complain about my condition. Had a terrible headache yesterday, couldn't hold my head up, had to lay down. But I learned to go and pray instead of complain openly. Nobody wanted to hear that I had a headache. Just go lay down, take an aspirin, pray, seek God, listen to some gospel. But quit whining. I think one of the worst things in the world is a whiny man, a 300-pound whiny man. Come on, amen. Well, some might be able to understand that. Before we were saved, God worked on us. And as he worked on us, He's now working within us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us an understanding as to what the will of God is for our lives as he creates within us the desire to carry that will out. I believe the will of God for some of us right now is to work on our complaining. Everything, do everything without grumbling and complaining. This is how the Christian life operates. God reveals his will to us, and we follow him in obedience. The Christian is not one of a passive involvement. Just being a Christian don't mean that we sit here and we let God do all the work. No. He places within us a desire, like this desire that's within me, to be involved in the work that he's doing in my life as well. Oh, you hearing me? You know, there are some that wouldn't stand and say that they're whiners and complainers. You know, but we all need some work done. Oh, are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. You know, and the work can't begin until we accept the fact that there are some work that need to be done. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. We don't just sit around watching God do all the work. After all, why did he save us? See, God saved us to work, and he has equipped us for that work as well. That's the reason he saved us. When God delivered Israel from slavery, and this is interesting, when he delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, he also intended to bring them into a promised land flowing with milk and honey. We're all familiar with the land of milk and honey, this land with blessings and prosperity. And the children of Israel, however, they didn't quite cooperate with the plan that had been designed and that was to benefit them. Instead, what they did, they continually complained and whine. Continually. They actually had a struggle during that journey from slavery to sin to possessing the inheritance that God had established for them. They had a struggle even receiving. I went through the Bible this past week and I just explored how many times the Israelites in their wilderness adventure complained. I'm gonna go over a few real quickly. The people complained to Moses that because of him and his talk of a promised land, Pharaoh made things worse for them. The people complained and said, Moses to leave them alone. They wanted to be left alone. The people complained about bitter water. The people complained about being hungry, and God gave them manna to eat in the mornings. The people, they forsook the Lord, and the Lord orders the Levites to kill 3,000 of the Israelites and burn the outskirts of the camps. And Moses wants to die, and the Lord sends a very great plague. I tell you, this complaining. And this is really the kicker right here. Miriam, Moses' sister, and his brother Aaron, they complain about Moses' leadership. Isn't that something? Complained about his leadership. And the Lord cursed Miriam, the sister, with leprosy. See, there's a consequence for complaining, continuous complaining. Also, the people complain about how difficult it looked to enter the land of Canaan, this promised land. So they refused to enter, and they complained. Then the people complained again and wanted to kill Moses. And they tried to even to select another leader. Sound like people today. It says, so the men Moses had sent to explore this promised land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against Moses by spreading a bad report as to how this land was and who were over there, who they would have to deal with if they went there. Everybody began to grumble. And these men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land, they were struck down and they died of this plague we just spoke of as well, these 10 men. See, there's a penalty for spreading grumbling and complaining and arguing and gossip, dissension. There's a penalty for that, not only in the Old Testament, but the New as well. And this is somewhat of a hard saying because these are some things that we really don't take under consideration, how we complain. The key leaders' rebellion, all the key leaders of the Israelites, they rebelled against Moses. And God gets serious and he opens up the earth and he swallows up the offenders. It's like a great earthquake. He just swallows up all the offenders. The people complained again that they accused Moses of killing God's people. They're going to get him. At this point, Moses is just sick and tired of these folk interceding for him, praying to God for him. They're just complaining and whining and complaining and whining, and he's just had his fill of this. The people contended with Moses again because of no water. Moses get angry. He strikes the rock, and wow, it's just at a head. It's about to burst. And finally, the people complained against God and Moses in Numbers 21, 4 and 5. And God finally brings the solution. And you know what the solution was? The solution was these fiery serpents. All these snakes appeared, and they began to bite these people. Mm-hmm. And he actually shows them their sin nature. And this is perhaps the most important of all lessons during this wilderness journey, because God finally gives them a taste of their own medicine. Isn't this interesting? They were to experience the same painful poison they were dishing out. And as a recipient of their own venom, and it was venom, those complaints can be venomous, they finally cried out to the Lord, acknowledging they had sinned against God and Moses. See, it is, I guess the question is complaining a sin? Is complaining a sin? Amen. Amen. Some don't want to look at complaining as being a sin, but we got scripture reference to whereas because of complaining, death have came. The scripture tells us that the wages of sin is what? Amen. Well, why did these people die from their complaining? This is interesting. Again, the solution to this poison that these snakes were delivering, it's very odd at first, but God commanded Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a stick, on a pole, and so that anyone that had been bitten by these serpents, if they looked upon this bronze serpent, they would be healed. Amen? Mm-hmm. God would heal them by having them look at the bronze serpent. In other words, we only get saved from this poisonous and rebellious nature and the death that comes with it when we look at it face to face. We're looking at complaining and whining face to face right now. Amen. We must look at our own spiritual MRI. I like that. A spiritual MRI. And see the seriousness of our diseases. Are you a chronic complainer? We need to look at the seriousness of this because it is serious. It is so subtle, but yet serious and deadly. When we, out of desperation, look in the mirror and finally acknowledge our own hideous propensity to sin, our deliverance is near, but only when we can look in the mirror and acknowledge ourselves as to where we are. That's why I make it a point to read me. I don't have time to read others. But I can take the time to read myself. And I need to work on some complaining. Amen? And if you feel in your heart and in your spirit that you need to work on some of that yourselves, now is a good time to do so. Would you agree? Amen. Amen. Acknowledging our true condition is what confession and salvation is all about. In order to receive salvation, we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. We must repent. Confession. That's what it's all about, confession and salvation. It's all about that. This is why in the New Testament, Jesus said the only way for us to be saved was to look at him. And I'm talking about him who knew no sin, who became sin for us on the cross. We were to look at him the same way Moses put the serpent on the pole. In the book of John, I want to read this, Matthew, Mark. In the book of John, chapter 3. Verse 14 and 15. One of our most common scriptures is John 3:16, but I want to read 14 and 15. These get overlooked sometimes. And it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Then we go on to 16, which says, again, this is a common one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What Moses did was just a foreshadow of what we're receiving today. Amen. The healing. Medical profession uses the serpent on the staff as well. There's healing in that. God wants to heal our sins. He wants to heal us from things that ail us, common ailments, things as simple as complaining. He desired to heal us. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I found it in my study that this was the last time we hear the people of Israel complaining in the wilderness. That broke it up. Those snakes broke it up. I'm sure they still fell into sin along the way. I'm sure they did, but something changed in their minds and in their hearts that it is as if a light bulb came on and they began to understand what was driving their murmuring and what was driving that complaining and that rebellion for all those years. They began to understand what it was because they stopped and took an in-depth look at themselves. They also began to understand why God had to deal with them and their free will. See, we all have a free will. And sometimes God has to deal with us in our free will as well. That he does. Sometimes it's not pretty, but it has to be done, just like the snakes. The wilderness journey we call life is all about us coming to the place where we truly see our true spiritual condition. This wilderness journey that we're on, we're in the wilderness as well. When the Israelites entered the wilderness, what was the destination? It was the promised land. But don't you know, because of their complaining, they didn't reach the promised land? Moses, because of his anger with these people, it stopped him from entering in as well, because he got angry with this people. We're on a journey as well. Our destination is where? Heaven? Is this where we want to go? Do we want to go to heaven? Is this what this is all about? So we're in a wilderness as well. So while we're in this wilderness, what are we going to do? Are we going to murmur and complain? Because things aren't going the way we think they should go, we're going to go and we're going to insert our own leadership. We're going to leave. We're going to cause division, dissension. What are we going to do? Are we going to walk in unity and in oneness? God called us to walk in unity. He called us to walk in love. He called us to walk in compassion, not in division. not in complaining. He wants us to be lights on the hill. When the world, when this wicked world look at us, they need to see something in us besides a whiner and a complainer. Someone that only have one face, and that is the face of Christ, because the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. They shouldn't see two or three faces. Mm-hmm. Your yea should be yea and your nay should be nay. Amen? And if it's not, we need to get it that way if we are to be a Christian. Are you hearing me? Too many of us want to say, well, God understands. Yeah, he understands. He understands that we have free will. He understands that he bring his word and his prime directives through us, through his word. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that wisdom is the principal thing and we should get wisdom. But in all our getting, we should get an understanding. Don't you know God wants us to understand what he desires from us? And being a complainer, a whiner, a busybody, a gossip, it's not what God wants of us. Because what that does, it breaks down the body of Christ. It tears down God's kingdom. We are his kingdom. When that began, it's like a cancer that eats away at the foundation. Worse than termites. It's worse than termites. I spoke to people at times that don't even attend church. And they look at us, who are the church, and say they'd rather not be a part of what we do. So it's just a house full of hypocrites. And that ought not be said about us. We're not perfect, but we're striving for maturity and perfection in Christ. We make mistakes, but we don't keep making that same mistake over and over and over. Come on, I'm kind of tall. I'm not real tall, but I'm kind of tall. And I was in a house one time that had a low door ceiling. If I was a 7-footer, I'd be in trouble. But I kept bumping the top of my head at this door, the entrance of this door. And I did it about twice. And I felt within myself, before I bump it again, I need to be aware that it's there. Come on, same thing with trip hazards. You know, if it's a hole out there, why are you going to go and walk in that same hole that you walk in every day? Why would you do it? See, God give us free will, and he give us common sense to avoid certain things as well. Come on. His walk, he says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And I say that to let you know that living for Christ is easy. Doing the right thing is easy as well. I believe from what I gathered from this lesson and by the self-examination of myself, that it'll be easy for me to be aware of what I say, because I'm going to screen and watch what I say. I'm going to quit complaining as much as I've complained about simple things. You know, when there's no rain, we complain about drought. Am I right? Come on. It's too much rain. That's too much. And we go on about that. You know, and wow. Food. I got a baby that she's in the labels. If it's a day before the expiration date, she do not want to touch it. Don't touch it. No, Papa, that's off limits. You know. But she has a standard. And I like the standard the child have as well. We need to know what's off limits for us as well. When we begin to do certain things, we need to know that there is a standard within us as well. And we're not going to do this. Amen. Amen. The good news is that God doesn't leave us frozen by the horror of seeing our grotesque selves. We can look a little grotesque to our own selves at times, but he doesn't leave us frozen there. He also reveals his boundless mercy and compassion that he has toward us. It is truly amazing to consider that the one and only true God,
the righteous and holy creator of the universe, patiently puts up with us. He patiently puts up with us. As a parent, have you ever promised to spank it? All right, better cut it out. I'm gonna get you. I've promised many spankings. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes he actually promised us spankings. And you know when you violated, I don't want to be spanked by the Father. Oh, you're hearing me. And I want to be a good son. I want to be a good son. Do you want to be a good son and daughter? Mm-hmm. Do you want to break your father's heart? Do you want to bring shame upon your father? There's something to bring shame upon your household as well. Come on. Folk feel shame about something they didn't even do. But in family, that's what happened. And we are family. We are the body of Christ. Amen. We are the kingdom of God. We are. So let's walk upright in the eyes of God. Amen. The righteous and holy creator of the universe. I love it. He patiently puts up with us. Patiently. Just like he patiently put up with the Israelites. And they were a mess. Can you imagine? Man, you got us out here. Take us back to Egypt, man. At least we had food. They felt like slavery was better than freedom. Slavery is better than freedom. Can you imagine that? So they had it better as a slave than they had it as a free man. You brought us out into this wilderness to die. So we're going to get you. And these people had seen miracles, signs, and wonders, came up against a Red Sea and watched it part before their very eyes. Saw the firstborn of everybody except theirs because of the blood on their doorposts be passed over and live while others died. Come on. Saw pestilence that didn't affect them. Saw Pharaoh's army drown in the Red Sea. And you're going to complain against someone this powerful? Understand you're his chosen people, but out of reverence and respect, I wouldn't complain. I would not put my mouth on the Almighty God. I would not do it. But we do it, just like they did. He died for us. He who had no sin, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And he died for us. Let's look upon Christ on the cross and receive our healing. If you're struggling with any of these things that's been discussed this morning, ask the Lord to help you. Pray about it. Ask him to remove it. And if it's being done unconsciously, have him to bring it to the forefront of your conscience so that you may be able to see yourself clearly. Ask him to remove it. I'm asking him to remove it from me. I'm asking him to move it because I want to be better than that. I want to be better than that. So I strive and I press to improve myself and not be a whiner and a complainer. I'm working on that. Amen? Amen. A good bodybuilder, he'll choose sections of his body to build. If he's working on biceps, he's going to work them biceps. If he's working legs, he's going to work legs. If he's working abs, he's going to target the abs. Well, I'm targeting complaining. And I'm going to work that until I'm strong in the area of not complaining. I won't complain. Amen. Am I making sense this morning? You know, it wasn't pretty, but there's a lot of truth in this as well. Amen. We're entering the Advent season. This is the first Sunday of Advent. We've actually lit the Advent candle. You know, I wanted to come and sing Mary Did You Know or something else, but God said, no, let's do I Won't Complain. There are so many things to be grateful for. So many things. Did we have to receive a box for Thanksgiving? I didn't. I had 4 or 5 turkeys in the freezer. Come on, plenty dressing, plenty trimmings. Didn't have to go and get nothing from nowhere. Didn't have to go to the food bank. Come on, my lights are on. My notes, my bills are paid. Come on. I can walk, I can talk. Come on, I can see pretty good. With and without glasses, I hear better than I see. Yo, what do I have to complain about? I woke up this morning. I didn't wake up dead. how can you wake up dead? Well, somebody didn't get up this morning. So much to be thankful for. So much. So much. I just want to encourage you today. Be thankful for where you are right now. And embrace what God is doing in your lives as well. Amen? Amen. How could anyone not want to serve an awesome God like our God? Amen? God bless you.